Let's pray for the offering, please. I want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to return these gifts to you. As we give them, may they come from our heart, and may they not be given grudgingly. As we give them, we pray for good stewardship, that they be used wisely, and that they be used to reach people in our community and around the world. And Lord, thank you so much for blessing us. Help us never to get tired of saying thank you and never to forget to say thank you for all you've done. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Entitled No Fear. The theme for 2019 is unsinkable. And I'm going to read not just the first three verses. I'm going to read all 14 verses of this. Our concentration will be on 1 to 3 and 1 to 4 with some other verses scattered in there. After I read, excuse me, there's going to be a video that we're going to see. And so that's why the lights are being left off. Hopefully you'll be able to use your x-ray vision, you know, your night goggles, and be able to see. If you have trouble, just say so. I'll have them turn the lights up, and we'll turn them back off. But let's start with verse 1 of Psalm 27 and begin reading there. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversary and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. When the army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. When war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And when my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord. And lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The song we're going to sing, there is what I will call a new breed of hymns that is reaching out. And this is a group from Australia called City of Light, and they are writing hymns. And this song goes along with the message, otherwise I wouldn't just have the song. It's an easy song to learn, so if along the way you begin to learn the melody, which is really simple, then feel free to sing along with it. But I hope that you will understand the meaning of the message of the song and listen to the words of the song more than anything else. Okay. movies. I listened to that this morning, and the lyrics are on the bottom of that. Don't know what happened to them. It's kind of hard for you to sing along with it when you don't know the words. So my apologies for that. It is called City Alight, A-L-I-G-H-T. They're a church out of Australia. And they are part of what is called the New Breed of Hymns. And so if you want to know more, just go to YouTube and just put in, or Spotify, and put in City of Light, and they'll come up for you. Well, let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father, open your word up to us this morning as we study this psalm, as we begin this series, this theme on being unsinkable. We pray that you will help us to see within this chapter, within this psalm, the power that's there. Not because of the words on a page, but because of the one who wrote them. Because you were behind it all. I pray that you'll help us as we face our difficulties and our trials and the things that we go through, that we'll see that what David went through was just like us, and yet he knew where to go when the going got hard. And so I pray for us to have receptive hearts to you. Lord, help us to be soft to you, not hard. I pray that if there is somebody here today that has a heart that is crusty, a heart that is getting hard, that you will break that crust and you will pick away at it until there is nothing left but the heart that you see, and that they'll lay it at your feet. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be attentive to your word, to grasp it, and then to say, you know, I need this. I need this truth. And help me to live it. And Lord, I pray that as I bring a message this morning, that you'll help me to step aside, to recall the things that I've studied, not for me, but for you. And we'll see Jesus and Jesus only. That's in his name I pray. Amen. It was March 4th, 1933, and the United States was in the throes of the worst depression that we had ever had before. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the newly elected president. He stood up at his inaugural speech, and he made what is now known as probably one of the most famous lines, but he honestly believed that our greatest problem was not the absence of finances, but the presence of fear. And he made that famous one line, and if you know it, you can say it with me, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. There is no question that we live in a fallen world. If you question that, read the news. Better yet, don't read it. If you question that, watch the news. Then again, don't watch it either. Because we live in a fallen world. But at the same time that we live in a fallen world, we live with a God of grace who wants to meet us in that fallen world and give us something to go on. The moments of darkness and fear, we have a God of grace who wants to give us a reason to live and a reason to hope. You see, you and I, as individuals, are not hardwired to live alone. We are not hardwired to go through life alone. Or alone, there are people who say, I don't need anybody. I got myself. There's only one word to say to that, and that's hogwash. Because you see, nobody is meant to live by themselves. We're all hardwired, actually, to live together. The one thing I do know is that we are not meant to live in fear. Now, as I mentioned earlier, already in 2019, we've gone 7 days, or 6 days. And you're probably already said, if it started out this way, I hate to see what the rest of it's going to be like. Well, 2019 does is it presents us with a new year, and it presents us with new challenges. And so that's where I came up with the theme of unsinkable. Now, I told you back in October, and I know you probably don't remember this, back during our anniversary, I said, I'm going to start the first 2 months preaching on idol drift, IDOL, and I was going to preach on idols that we have. But as I started studying for this back in December and started preparing these messages, God said, no, you're not, Bill. Oh, I'm not preaching on idols because I want you to preach on something positive. I want you to give your people who you love something to hang on to. I want you to give your people something to give them hope, to show them that they can be unsinkable in 2019. And so I said, okay, God, there. And he pointed me to Psalm 27, which is the theme verse for the whole idea of the unsinkable. And I thought, okay, so what I'm going to do for the next 3 weeks is take Psalm 27 and take it apart. And then the following week, I'm going to take you to Psalm 19. And then sometime as we begin in February, I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 8. Just right now, you know, God may have other ideas and say, no, I don't think so. But right now, I'm going to take you for the next 3 weeks through Psalm 27. And so what I'm going to do today is kind of lay some groundwork for you, but also begin to talk about the first 3 and 4 verses of Psalm 27. So first of all, let's talk about the relevancy of Psalm 27. The one thing you will notice about the Bible as you read it is its realness. Now, you may not like that word realness, so let me use another word. It's relevance. No matter what people like to tell us, the Bible is as relevant today as it was back then. The Bible is not a dead book. The Bible is not a book of black and white or red and white pages that have absolutely nothing to do with our lives today. And as you read Psalm 27, as we go through it over the next 3 weeks, and as you read it on your own, which I hope you will do, you're going to be presented with reality. We're going to see so much in here that is so true. We're going to see the psalmist, whom we assume to be David, struggling with the same kind of tension that you and I struggle with. The tension between difficulty and struggles and the goodness of God. And I imagine every one of us, somewhere along the line, have struggled with that. How can God be a good God and yet give me all, I can have all these troubles and all these difficulties and all these trials? And we're going to notice as you go through Psalm 27 that the psalmist struggles with that same tension. And I'm going to tell you that this is relevant. And what the psalmist is trying to do is he's trying to sink in his mind and in his heart this whole idea that God is good, God is the God of grace, but I have trouble and I have difficulties. Now, there are some things we know about this psalm. Number one, it is a psalm of fear. But what you're going to notice is that as a psalm of fear, he also takes us to show us that there is a way to confidence in that fear. So the psalm is a psalm of fear. And what he does is he realizes that his confidence is not in himself, like we are being told. His confidence is in God. So we don't have to be afraid. The second thing you'll notice about this psalm is it's a fear of danger. But it also talks about the safety of God. You see what he's going to do? He's going to tell us this, but then he's going to say, but. And his but is like this big, huge B-U-T. He's going to take us from fear to confidence. He's going to take us from danger to safety. And it's like the fisherman who's in a rough sea. When he's in this rough sea, he has to trust his crew and he has to trust his boat. When you and I are in rough seas, we have to trust our crew, the people who are around us. And most important of all, we have to trust our captain. And that's our fault. The third thing we know about this psalm is it's a psalm of rejection. But it's also a song where he sings of God's acceptance. It sounds like, how can I be rejected but accepted? Put it this way, we are rejected by men but accepted by God. There are so many people, maybe even in this room this morning, who feel like you're rejected. Nobody wants you. Everywhere I turn, people are turning against me. So one of the things the psalmist does is he points us to the one who is always true. And then finally, it's a song of action. But ironically, it also brings us to the point of waiting on God. Okay, so you see how he does this? It's a point of fear to confidence. It's danger to safety, rejection to acceptance, and now he's taking us from action to waiting on God. And so you can see that within this psalm is this tension that goes on, just like me and you. I struggle with life. But I'm willing to bet that if I was a betting person, that there is not a person in this room who has not somewhere along the line struggled with one of these four things. Now, there are four things that draw us to this psalm and show us its relevance. Number one is shock value. Now, by shock value, I'm not talking about the shock jock kind. We get this outrageous stuff. But what I'm trying to say is that look at verses 2 and 3. And the psalmist, we'll call him David from this point on. David is very blunt. Look at this. When evil doers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an enemy encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though the war rise against me, yet I will be confident. You see, he's very blunt. He's basically saying, I've had it. I got all this junk around me. I got this enemy that won't let me go. I have these evil doers who just want to chew my flesh up. And so there's a little shock value there. It's a little bit of, what do I do about all this? And let me ask you a question. When you're in the middle of something, and you have people who aren't real kind to you. Let's say you're going through what the psalmist is going through. What is your response? Well, most of us want vengeance, right? Most of us will say, God, go get them. We want justice, right? Let me show you what David does in verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this next week, but what David basically is saying is, I want to be in God's presence. I'm not worried about vengeance. I'm not worried about justice. All I want is to be in God's presence. In the Old Testament, being in God's presence was in his house, the tabernacle, and eventually the temple. But to us, being in God's presence can be anywhere, at any time. And so what David is praying for is that when everything is bad around me, God, let me be in your presence. The second thing that draws us to the psalm is this regularity. For all the shock value, Psalm 27 is pretty accurate in its picture of life. You cannot read Psalm 27 and not see life. If you are reading it and you don't see the trials that are there, you don't see the struggles that are there, you don't see the hard knocks that are there, then you better go back to the drawing board with your own heart. Because you see, this psalm includes the highs and the lows. Does that sound like life to you? The highs and the lows, the mountains and the valleys. It's called life. And it's basically just saying life is regular. You and I are going to go through this. None of us are ever going to have a life that's pain-free, struggle-free, or anything else free. There's a third thing that draws us to this, and that's its focus on Christ. And you're looking at that and go, wait a second, Bill, I don't see any way in hell we've talked about Jesus. And consider this. The theme of this psalm is faith and hope. May I ask you where our hope is? Our hope is in Christ. Well, David, the psalmist, he basically was saying, you know, my hope is in God. Our hope is in Christ. And so, yeah, there's a focus on Christ here because you and I have to understand that without the hope of Christ, we have nothing. And there's a fourth reason we're drawn to this psalm, and it's called to patient hope. It's called to patient hope. This is not a cynical psalm. It's not a survivalist psalm. It's not a, well, you fooled me once and you're not going to fool me again psalm. All the pain that he writes about and all the suffering, you want to know how it ends? Verses 13 and 14. Look at that if you would please with me. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Of all the struggles that the psalmist, that David is going through, in the very end, he says, wait for God. Don't you just love to wait? You're standing in line. You're still standing in line. Half hour later, you're still standing in line, and you're just really patient. Sometimes it gets that way with God, too, doesn't it? I mean, God, to act right now. And he says, wait. Just watch me. Just wait. Okay, so let's get to the psalm itself. Let's talk about the reality of Psalm 27. One of the things that I really like about this psalm is that it's an amazing psalm. It soars with thoughts of God, but at the same time, it takes us down into the depths. And we're going to be like on a roller. You're going to watch David be like on a roller coaster. He's going to be up and he's going to be down. He's going to be up and he's going to be down, just like you and I are. He's going to see life and he's going to say, oh man. And then he's going to say, God, I came through. Oh, life, God, I came through, just like us. And that's what I love about this psalm is that as you read through here, and this is my challenge for you, okay? Over the next 3 weeks, I would like it, I would challenge you to read the psalm once a day. Read it slowly. You can read 14 verses in less than 2 minutes, in less than 5 minutes. I think all of us can give at least 5 minutes out of our day to read a passage of Scripture. And I want to challenge you to read Psalm 27 every day. And I'm going to challenge you before you start reading to pray, Father, speak to me. Open your word up. Speak to me. And help me to see your truth. And I'm going to be honest with you. The Bible says it is like the word of God is like a double-edged sword. Do not be surprised if there are times that he just kind of flays you. I read something, you know, I don't know, I've read that before. Why is it speaking to me this time? Because your heart's ready for it. So I really would like to challenge you to read Psalm 27 over the next 3 weeks, once a day. And just ask God to speak to you through his word. I will be moved by the majesty and the holiness God. Verse 11 says, this is what I challenge you to say before you start reading. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on the way. terrible path because of my enemies. Father, teach me your way. Pray that before you start reading. And I believe that you will be totally, totally surprised what God will do in your heart. First one describes God three different ways. First of all, he said, the Lord is my light. And it's interesting because Paul says God is an unapproachable light. We are told in the scripture, we cannot look on God and live. So why does it say that God, the Lord is my light? Well, this is the only place in all of scripture where God is called light. There are other places where it describes him, but this is the only place where it says the Lord is my light. John chapter 1 verse 5 is a perfect example of that. And I'm going to ask you to turn the out at another time. We're going to take the time to do that right now. But what it's saying is this. Even in the darkness. Hear this, please. Even in the darkness, the child of God has no fear. Because light destroys what? Darkness. The Lord is my darkness to spare. The Lord is my light. I have nothing to fear. That's what he says here, isn't it? Who shall I fear? Because there's something else tacked onto that. The Lord is also my salvation. The Hebrew word for salvation is the word deliverance. Psalm 28, verse 8 says, the Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. He's our refuge. He's our salvation. He's our redeemer. He's our deliverer. If that's the case, if the Lord is my light and the Lord is my salvation, who shall I fear? That is a rhetorical question, not expecting an answer, because there's nothing to fear. It has one more description. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David was a military man. And oftentimes military terms came into his speech and into his writing. And these images came in. There's another passage that I'd like you to turn to. You see the Proverbs 18, verse 10? This is a verse that I think is so important. And if you would like to turn there, I think it would be good for you to find it there. Proverbs 18, it's immediately after Psalms, if you're not familiar with your Bible. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. And I love this verse. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. I have a study Bible back in my office. It's a Jewish study Bible. And this is how they translate that verse. The name of Adonai is a strong tower. A righteous person runs to it and is raised high. Above danger. So basically what it's saying is that God is my strong tower. He's the stronghold of my life. And then how does he finish it up? Of whom shall I be afraid? Twice. Who shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? You see, we really have no reason to fear. So let me recap that. Light speaks of spiritual intensity or understanding. Salvation points us to the greatest of all deliverances. And then the stronghold refers to God as being our refuge. When I moved into this building back in 2010, I requested a security system. The reason I requested is because we were basically isolated. At that time, there was a huge energy wasn't across the street. Abram Farm wasn't here. The people over here were old. We had a rehab center over here, but they basically kept to themselves. And so I wanted to make sure that especially Diana was safe because she might be here a lot by herself. So we investigated security systems, and we found one that worked, except when it goes off on Christmas Eve, which if we were here that night, it was fun. Anyway, we needed a security system. Those people have a lot of security systems. We have our investments. At least we think they're secure. We have relationships that we run to. But what are relationships made up of? People. We have church. Now that's good, except what's church made up of? People. And then we have ourselves. We take care of ourselves, we exercise, we try to eat right, we abstain from harmful habits, but guess what? It's not guaranteed we're going to live long. There's only one true investment, one true security system, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Our security, please hear this, our security is not found horizontally. Our security is found vertically. If we spend so much time trying to find horizontal security, we will end up empty. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They're trying to find security horizontally. But what we find out in Psalm 27 is our security is vertical. And when people seek, and many of us, when we seek horizontal security, we find that the only real security is what David talks about in verse 4, is being in the presence of God. To be in any situation, any location, any company of people, and be out of the presence of God. Because you see, no matter where we are, He is. No matter what we are doing, He's there. Every situation, God's going through it with you. And even when we think that we are on our own, that the trouble is too much, that the difficulty I can't handle, all God says is, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's perfect in every way, without flaw. He's the beginning and the end of everything. No matter what, no matter when, no matter when, and no matter why, He is there. I don't know what 2019 will bring for you. I don't even know what 2019 is going to bring for me. Because, you know, I don't have that kind of vision. There's only one person who knows. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's the one that makes me unsinkable. Because He's unsinkable. And I don't know what 2019 is going to bring. But I've already begun to pray, Father, no matter what this comes, no matter what comes up, no matter what kind of battles I face, no matter what kind of trials I face, may my faith be strong. May my faith be in You, not in me. May my faith be trusted and anchored and strong because I lean on You. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to Indochina for years and years, almost his whole life. He wrote these words. It doesn't matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies. Whether it comes between you and God, or whether it presses you near His heart. pressure you and I face today is the pressure that David the psalmist faced in Psalm 27. And what did he pray for? That I would be in your presence. That's my prayer for me. And I hope that that will be your prayer for you today and this year, that you will be in God's presence. And no matter what comes, that you won't give up. And no matter what comes, you will say, the pressure is there, God. Don't let it drive a wedge between me and you, but instead let it drive me to your heart. Because as you and I drive, or as we find ourselves driven to the heart of God, we find ourselves finding what we need. We find our security there. Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? For the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And Father, I pray that you will help us to trust you in all things. It's easy to say on January 6th when we haven't faced perhaps some of the greatest difficulties we will face this year. Because none of us knows what's ahead. What you have told us, as we talked about last week, you've told us, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough of its own. Help us to live and trust you today. To know that you are in control, that you are our light and our salvation, that you are the stronghold of our life, and we have nothing to be afraid of. So when things come up that shake the very core of our being, when the volcano comes that wants to pour out hot lava on us, when the ground shakes because of an earthquake that wants to knock our feet off from underneath us, help us to stand and stand strong on you. You are our anchor. You are our light. You are our strength. You are the stronghold of our life, and you are our deliverer. And I pray, Father, that each person in this room will realize that today. God, open your word up to us as we read it this week, this month. Help us to grasp what David was talking about and just cement it in our heart so that we're able to stand and stand firm and stand strong. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you never change, that you never waver, that you never falter, that you're without flaw, and that we can trust you. And may our security not be found in things horizontal, but things vertical, and be found in you. And I pray if there's somebody here today who's never come to know the God of salvation, the God who stands, the God who never changes, but the God who gave his Son for our sin. I pray that today will be that day that they begin to search, and that you will not let them alone until they make a decision. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and thank you for your promise. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. If you have a decision, if you want to talk about it, I'd love to talk with you. My phone's always on. My email is there. You can text me, whatever. I'd love to make an appointment with you and sit down and talk with you. So the invitation is never closed. But we're going to ask you to stand and sing one last song. I'm going to ask Ryan if he would close in prayer. But I want to thank you for being with us today. Next week we'll be in Psalm 27, verses 4 through 8. And then the next week will be verses 9 through 14. So, be reading Psalm 27. Be ready for it. I hope that you have a heart that's open and ready to hear. So let's stand. And Ryan, would you close in prayer for us, please?
So undeserved, that was only by what Jesus accomplished on the cross. We are so grateful for it. Father, I pray that you would go with us now as we leave this place, as your church now departs and spreads over this community, Lord, I pray that you be with us. I pray that you would make us stand, that you would give us courage, that you would help us to be strong through the storms, that Jesus would be our anchor in all. And so I just pray that over all of us here today, and as we go out of this place, that it would be your wind in our sails that carries us. In Jesus' name, amen.